Sam, don't get hit by them rocks. You think you can get Sam with those? You ain't gonna get them. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on.
This looks so good.
Welcome back to New Rock Stars. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode 1 has arrived on Disney Plus. Sam Wilson gave up Captain America's shield, saying that belongs in a museum, just to see that shield go to the most punchable face in the MCU since Tyler Hayward. No offense to either of those actors. You do such a good job just playing someone who we just immediately do not like.
Too good of a job.
Oh, yeah. A little too good. That's how you know. That's how you know you cast the right guy. Hey, This is Inside Marvel. It's New Rockstar's official after show for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm Eric Voss here with MT. What'd you think of this episode, MT?
My God, Eric. Good God. Literally, I was just, my mind was blown. Like, after the first 10 minutes, I just had to just pause, take a second, and be like, all right. The MCU is back proper. We're getting full on action, baby. It's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's so much to talk about. This is our after show where we're going to react to the big moments and answer the biggest WTFs you had, which to us stands for
What the Falcon?
Oh, hey, by the way, we did see your comments saying that we should have made it What the Buck, but trust me, I did think of that, but, you know, written down in comment form, I agree, it makes sense, but here on YouTube, our captions on these videos are sometimes automatically applied, and What the B-Buck could be accidentally translated into something that just gets this video immediately flagged and we don't make any money from it and we don't notice until hours later. So just to avoid that headache, also it doesn't abbreviate to WTF. WTB isn't anything. Also, his name is not Buck. It's James Buchanan Barnes, aka Bucky. No one calls him Buck. And also, I just think What the Falcon is more fun. It's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
So.
Let's just have some fun. Let's have fun with it. This is What the Falcon.
I agree. And this is our after show. I'm also going to do a separate breakdown of all the Easter eggs you missed in the episode. That's going to come later today. I think we can get it out faster. Normally, it's going to come out the next day. This is not that video. So if an Easter egg or detail is not pointed out in this video, don't comment it. I don't want to see it in the comments. And if you see someone else commenting that, all of you have permission to shame that person and call them a dummy for not listening to 2 minutes into the video. Good Lord. We have to say this every time. They still won't listen.
I co-sign Eric. Listen, if you do that, you are a dummy. Don't be a dummy, okay?
Don't be a dummy.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
So, MT, here we are. 6 months after Endgame, confirmed. Sam Wilson's now working freelance gigs for the military alongside Joaquin Torres, a very important character from the Falcon comics and now a very possible candidate for a future S.H.I.E.L.D. possessor or someone who wants it. We see Falcon fighting Batroc, Georges Batroc from Captain America Winter Soldier.
Awesome. Honestly, Batroc, he was legit a leaper in this one. He was leaping
he was
from
straight up leap.
Copter to copter. I was like, hey, that's my man. That's Batroc.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Batroc leaping off again. Who knows where he's going to show up next. Meanwhile, Bucky, who has not met with Sam yet as of this first episode, he's trying to make amends for his Winter Soldier past, including all of his leftover Hydra agents and the victims of the innocents that he killed. So sad. So we, in this episode, are going to talk about who these flag smashers are because they got superpowers. Where did these powers come from? It seemed to be the big question that was left at the end of that episode before this broadcast came up. And, you know, if Sam told Rhodey that he was okay with giving up Cap's shield, why is Sam now so pissed off that John Walker has it now?
Yeah, well, I have a question. That's a good one, Eric.
Ooh, and before MT and I continue, we are happy to announce the new design for the latest Obsession number 3 shirt from New Rock Stars and our merch partners at Epic Hero. It is this amazing looking Falcon and the Winter Soldier inspired design, especially from those glorious end credits so filled with Easter eggs, just like this shirt. It's pure anarchy, or in this case, anarchy assembled. Now, as always, these are limited edition collectibles. So once they sell out, back in the Blue Dungeon they go. You got to get your hands on these fast. You can get them at newrockstarsmerch.com. And when you do, you'll get the added option to write in a custom shout out that will appear on screen during our Inside Marvel Falcon and the Winter Soldier after shows. We don't have any yet because no one has bought any, but I can't wait to see what you guys write for next week's episode. But in the meantime, Epic Hero Shop just launched a new YouTube channel, Epic Hero Labs, and we are celebrating that with some giveaways of 10 Sony PlayStation 5's disc editions. We've already given away one of those, and the other 9 are burning holes in our pockets. We got very, very big pockets that could fit PS5s in them. It's like 2002 cargo pants are back in. We stuffed them full of our PS5s. So we are begging you, take these off our hands. All you got to do is subscribe to the YouTube channel to enter to win one. And we are giving away one PS5 for every 10,000 subscribers on the road to 100,000. So to enter to win the next one, just subscribe to Epic Hero Labs on YouTube. Then go to epicheroshop.com/giveaway to share your information. Plus see a bunch more ways to get extra entries into that giveaway.
It's a free PS5. You got
to
do it.
It's a free PS5. You're losing a chance to have fun gaming times. All right, MT, what is our first What the Falcon?
What the Falcon, or who the Falcon anyway, are the Flag Smashers.
Yeah, the Flag Smashers have this version of them that are in the MCU, but in the comics, they appear to be based on, there's one guy named Flag Smasher named Carl Morgenthau. He's a Captain America villain, and his goal is to kind of erase all political divisions. Smash those flags. And it kind of leads this terrorist network. And as is pointed out in this show, the goals are kind of the same here, but here it's a military group. And it kind of emerged from the blip, and they kind of liked it that way. They liked a world without borders, without infighting between countries. They're all just kind of miserable together. What's wrong with that?
I mean, yeah. And like, I really like how they're setting them up to be like, this, like, these freedom fighters of the people of sorts. And, like, I don't know, like, as you can see, like, in the show, like, they have, like, a network of, like, you know, people that are, like, they message to, like, meet up in a place and, like, just so they can make their crimes easier to pull off, which is very smart.
Right.
You're just sort of crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing terrorism v. flash mob, right?
Yeah, flash mob terrorism. It's the way of the future. Let's do it.
Many of us consider flash mobs to be a form of terrorism. I didn't ask to be sung at in a mall food court. Get out of here.
Honestly, it 100% is. And it's just very uncomfortable. So let's just stop doing that. That's just in general. That's the best thing about quarantine, it's less flash mobs.
Now, here in the show, it's being headed up by Aaron Kellerman's character, who is confirmed in the credits of this episode to be named Carly Morgenthau. So they are bringing in that connection. But what's weird about this group is they have powers.
Yeah.
They are super agile, super strong. They can jump out of a Swiss bank second stories and land without breaking those ankles. We've seen from trailer footage that Aaron Kellerman's character can like jump real high. She can leap from one truck to another in a single bound. And that was kind of the question set up at the very end. Taurus asks Sam, do you think he could be... And Sam's like, shut up.
It's only episode one. There's too many details. We just can't talk about
it. Don't you know viewers are watching us right now? Come on, man.
But no, yeah, like they're crazy superpowered. Like, I think they even like remember that part when he like kicked that guy into like the pole and like that guy is... 100% paralyzed. That is a paralyzed
man. Good
night. Yep.
He's going to need those roadie braces to walk around.
But yeah, no, like these guys are obviously just augmented in some way. We don't know exactly how. We don't know if they're making like, if someone's out there making super soldiers, someone out there making like, you know, like a cyborg type people. We just know that these people have the juice to pull off their agenda. And they seem very
organized. They got the juice. They got the juice. It might be next episode, but we know from a promo clip that Sam is kind of debating, are they aliens, androids, or wizards? And they're not magic, so they're not wizards. They could be androids. They could be, you know, cybernetically enhanced. They're probably not aliens, though. I mean, let's try to sort who these people are. I made a video where arguing that they're either super soldiers or mutants. Super soldiers being like, well, we know the Winter Soldier program was using that super soldier serum. There could be other batches of it out there. The mutant argument is that after the events of Endgame that, you know, for millennia there has been a dormant mutant gene in certain people of the population that now with all these extraterrestrial threats, it's now just evolving to be activated to make humankind more fit for survival in a broader universe. It might be too soon for mutants. Super soldiers seems like a way it could go. Could we be looking at Skrulls? Could we be looking at Inhumans? What do you think, MT?
I mean, like, okay, so in terms of aliens, here's a really interesting idea that I was thinking about earlier. I was thinking that, so remember in Far From Home that, what's it called? Nick Fury mentions that there are Kree sleeper cells somewhere around Marvel Earth, the MCU. So, maybe, and I don't know, but we could be looking at some Kree sleeper cell stuff. Possibly.
I like that idea.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier does take place before Spider-Man Far From Home, as far as I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. It takes place, I think, 2 or 3 months before.
Yes.
It would be. Yeah.
So we still haven't seen those Kree sleeper cells yet. That could still come in play. So,
you know, and what's great about that is Kree are, they're supposed to be different colors, but like there's pink skinned Kree that, you know, in the MCU, according to Jude Law's character, is just normal, you know, white Caucasian human being. So
pink skinned whites.
So presumably they could be, though there was this other trailer footage where Aaron Kellerman's character felt like kind of an outcast. It almost kind of reminded me of like he's some kind of underground mutant group like Morlocks or something like that. But
it could potentially be that, because the Morlocks were pretty like low-key underground, and like they moved from the shadows sort of, so.
But they were kind of like sewer dwellers, like the Ninja Turtles, but they didn't have these like political ambitions. That's more connected to maybe like the Mutant Brotherhood or something like that. But the Brotherhood of Mutants would kind of want their own country. They wouldn't want all the worlds united. They'd kind of want, just let us have Genosha and leave us the hell alone, please. So I don't, I think this could be some kind of new thing. We were talking about how, based off of the character Joaquin Torres, who we're going to talk about in a bit, in the comics, he has been experimented by a guy named Carl Malus, who does a lot of human experimentation, and that maybe Carl Malus could be behind this and is kind of experimenting, doing some, advanced, biotech weaponry kind of stuff on people to weaponize them, and that these people were escapees and now they have this kind of political agenda. It's kind of hard to reconcile the political agenda with their superhuman skills. It's kind of like a hat on a hat. It's like, well, which is going to be the more important identifier of these characters?
No, for sure. Like Carl Malus has been like someone that I've been really thinking about ever since I watched the episode, because of Joaquin Torres, and like he's this guy who likes to just, you know, experiment on people and try to give them powers in these in a weird way. So maybe, potentially, these Flag Smashers could be in league or have been augmented with Carl Malus. But we haven't, there hasn't been any sign of Malus quite yet.
Yeah, but, we're not on the Malus train.
We're not on the Malus train. But like, Carl Malus is someone that is very significant in this in Joaquin Torres' life. So we got to keep an eye on him. We gotta keep it up.
You know, MC, maybe the answer is in their symbol. They have this red handprint, and then now we see it's like over a world. That was the AR thing on Torres' phone. He's like, oh, you gotta pay attention to these guys. So is there something like they just, rather than having flags identify the different regions of the world, just one hand that uniquely ties them all together? And people pointed this out when we first saw them in the trailer months ago, that like that red hand, is it just the hand? Are they gonna be merging those two things? I don't know. The hand are ninjas, right? So probably not that version of the hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't suspect the hand in this at all. I think the hand is a very specific, part of the Marvel universe that this doesn't seem to be touching on. So yeah, agreed. I wouldn't factor in the hand here. But the hand in the world symbol is a very interesting symbol. And I honestly, personally, I think it could be just pointing out to, hey, let's just be one world. Let's just, hold hands in a way, and like let's just keep our hand, like obviously they're a militant group and they're radical and like obviously they're, you know, they're very violent, but at the, like their their main goal is just like, all right, let's just forget the borders, it's all about humanity and like us coming together. So I get the symbol, but like obviously there could be a deeper meaning to all that.
Yeah, and they may be tied with Zemo's plan. Zemo did not show up in this episode, so we don't really know what Zemo's whole goal or mission or what his whole plot is yet. Yeah. So they could be connected to him. But let's look at what they did this episode. They did a flash mob and we used that to create a diversion to rob this bank in Switzerland. Now, I think this is important because Swiss banks have the reputation of storing money, offshore money, for criminals. And I wonder if that could be how we get to Madripoor. Madripoor has the world's criminal elite there. Maybe they do their banking with the Swiss bank, and these guys are trying to piss off some super criminal or get money for the super criminal by ripping off some other criminal, Joker and Dark Knight style, like from this Swiss bank. And that's how it's connected.
That is an excellent link, Eric. That's literally like, because like you're exactly right. Swiss banks are like the perfect banks for people that do sketchy stuff. So like either it's criminals or like, you know, probably like sketchy politicians who have like, you know, money on the side. it's literally the perfect mark for an organization like the Flag Smashers. So yeah. It is like, once I saw that they were breaking into a bank, I was like, you know what? That's very smart. That's like, they got some, whoever's in charge of the Flag Smashers, they're very, very like deliberate in their actions, it seems. And there's like a lot of organization. So like, it would be very interesting if it was just Carly Morgenthau behind all of this, because like, it would be great to see like, you know, we'll have Zemo and then we'll have Carly and like these two amazing minds just like, you know, as factors for Bucky and Sam to deal with. But these Flag Smashers are definitely an organized force, and I definitely don't think they're their hand or anything.
Agreed. Now, they did have this thing where I assume it was cash or it was just money or gold bars in those bags, but they always do this thing in movies where they have big duffel bags filled with cash. Those would be so hard to carry. One of those. It's like several hundreds pounds to carry one of those.
Like you would definitely have to hit the gym. Like arm day should not be missed.
But this guy's super strong, so it justifies it. Good job, Falcon Winter Soldier. You justify the physics for once. Of this. Whereas the physics of, can you do a tandem wingsuit jump with like another fully grown man and still be able to glide down safely? I don't know if you could do that Point Break style.
I couldn't just do it with myself, Eric, because I'm a very large man. I would just sink to the bottom. The wings wouldn't activate and the wings would just snap off, really. It's like, oh, good God. This man is too big. I'm so sorry. ADD, let's go.
So you know who else is from Switzerland, MT?
Oh, yes, I do, my friend. Zola.
Zola.
Hey, we on that Zola cola, bro.
We back on the Zola train. You didn't know we were on the Zola. Hey, I'm just bringing it up. You never know. In those bags, it didn't necessarily have to be cash to fund a criminal enterprise. It could have been important, weird artifacts that a certain AI would have in some family bank back in Switzerland. Probably not. Probably not. We're reaching.
You never know. Hey, here's another wild Zola theory. Zola was a small man. Maybe Zola was in one of those bags. Maybe they just shoved him in. Maybe there's two Zolas, one Zola per bag. Like, we got him. We got Zola back. They stored him in the bank and we got him back.
He did not die. He's a very old, shriveled, tiny Swiss man played by Toby Jones, who's in one of those duffel bags.
This is the corpse of Zola.
Sorry, very important dumb. For them to get it. Yeah. For now, I'm just going to say, I think these Flag Smashers, it's not as important how they got their powers, it's what they believe. And I think that belief lends itself to being, they're more likely to be super soldiers or something akin. Maybe not necessarily super soldier serum, the same cocktail that like Bucky and Steve got, but something like that. Maybe someone like Carl Malice or someone weaponizing these people, and then they were bitter from that experience. And then collectively, they realized, you know what, you can't trust any world government. You can't trust any national government if they're going to be at war with each other. Let's just do away with that and be kind of anarchists.
I mean, you know, I understand with the frustration with local government, but like, let's tone it down with the violence.
You don't need to arrange these flash mobs, guys. Come on.
Yeah, you really don't. And like, they really stomp the shit out of.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. Oh boy, Torres.
They really did. Not, poor guy.
He was, his eye was not fantastic.
He'll be okay. We're going to talk more about Torres and the rest of the questions you have from the show. But first, we want to thank some people who helped us make it, starting with our friends at Bombas. Thank you to Bombas for sponsoring this episode. Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. I'm actually wearing them right Now.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if you can see that. These are Babas. They're so comfortable.
Are we trying to appeal it to the foot audience? Is that what we're doing? Is this trying?
I'm not taking off my Babas. I'm not. This isn't that kind of channel. Yet. We're willing to go there if you join our Patreon.
Until we get really desperate, we can. we'll save the feet pics for the Patreon. Yeah.
Hey, but we're thinking Bombas right now, right? Bombas has rethought every little detail of socks to make them way more comfortable. I wear them every day. I'm a huge fan. They make the really short no-see socks in a way that they don't slide down inside your shoes, which I hate when that happens. I'm not sure how Bombas did this, but they nailed it. These socks do more than keep your feet cozy, of course. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community, because for every pair of socks that you purchase from Bombas donates a pair to someone in need.
That's amazing.
Nice. I love it when we can partner with sponsors like this. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 40 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of over 3,000 giving partners. And the impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, a small comfort that's especially important right now. So give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase of Bombas at bombas.com/Marvel. That's bombas.com/Marvel for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/Marvel. We also want to thank our friends at Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. Right now, I am trying to eat better, but a healthy breakfast does not have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. Every serving has 0 grams of sugar and at least 13 grams of protein and only 4 net grams of carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Get yourself a variety pack of cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter flavors. Go to magicspoon.com/Marvel to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code of Marvel at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/Marvel and use the code Marvel to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this video. And our friends at Stereo. Thank you to Stereo for sponsoring us. Depending on whether you're watching this, you might be able to jump into the Stereo app and share your thoughts on this episode with us. Every Friday morning, we go live on Stereo app with Inside Marvel. Stereo is the free live podcasting platform where you can interact with us in real time, sending us voice messages that we will air and respond to live. So we were able to get this episode of Inside Marvel out early, but MT and I are going to be doing a Q&A, trying to answer all of your questions live, 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern time, Friday morning this week. And then every week there forward, you're going to get an earlier version of this Inside Marvel show live at 9 a.m. So download the Stereo app for free by going to stereo.com/newrockstars. Oh, and this special bonus Q&A segment we do exclusive with our Stereo listeners, that actually goes up on our YouTube channel on Sunday. So you get to be a star if you join us on Stereo. Also, you can listen to all of our older episodes or to the other weekly New Rockstar shows on Stereo by following our account on Stereo. Every Thursday evening, off-screen producer Zach and Brandon are doing a Falcon Winter Soldier pre-show where they make a lot of predictions that probably won't come true. I'm with them on there. I get it. It's fun. It's hard. And they don't have to deal with the consequences the next morning. Good for them. So we'll see you on Stereo. But MT, our next What the Falcon. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Who the Falcon is this replacement Cap played by White Russell at the end of the episode?
An abomination, Eric. I couldn't even believe it. I was just so... I mean, I knew it was coming. But, like, the disrespect, Eric. The disrespect to Samuel. Agreed. Was just so... Just... It made me enraged. I snapped my keyboard in two. I took a walk. I yelled at my neighbors. It was just a really terrible thing. Just kidding. This all falls. No, that's a good question. This is U.S. Agent John Walker, played by Wyatt Russell. And basically... He's this wannabe Cap. This in like he I believe he plays the Super Patriot in the comics.
Yeah, he goes by a couple different names. He like starts as like a wrestler, and then there's like a vacancy, and he's like, "Hey, let's start a vigilante group. I'll be Super Patriot," and then it kind of works. He kind of becomes a replacement Cap for a short time.
But like, here's the question though: Why did the government official tell Sam it was the right decision to give up the shield just to give it to John Walker? Like, that's my problem.
It's messed up. I have a conspiracy theory about this. I have a conspiracy theory about everything, but MT about this in particular. So there was that moment where Taurus is like, hey, you should reroute that in the gear. And Sam's like, could you not? And he's like, I'm sorry. It's just every time Ops messes with my gear, it's something messes up. I am wondering if the government is sabotaging Sam Wilson. They want him to drop out of the sky and die. So when he hands over the shield, they're like, oh, great. We don't have to look like bad guys when something bad happens. And he's not the next Cap. He's just Falcon. I think they're still mad at Falcon for joining Team Cap during the Sokovia Accords. Thunderbolt Ross is still out there. He's Secretary of State, we think. He's probably still pissed off. And I think all these government officials want Sam to fail. And they are setting him up.
Bro, That's good. I didn't even consider that. Yo, that's maybe because they could easily, because like that's the best way to get rid of Sam. It's like if we just mess with his tech, he's flying all over canyons and shit. Just have him just fail, die. Just like Riley. Well, Riley got shot down. All right, yeah. Riley, sorry.
Or did he get shot down or was he set up?
Was he murdered? Oh my God. Who knows? Now you got me thinking about this government conspiracy. God dang, Eric. You're a goddamn.
Goes all the way to the top, MT. I'm telling you. Oh, there's a microphone here, so it's blocked out all the way to the top. Where's my face? I am dusting. No. I'm back.
But. Yeah, that's a good point that he could easily be getting sabotaged. I didn't even consider that.
I think at the end of the day, whether or not that's true, the government does not want Sam to be the bearer of the shield. They don't want to be at war with Sam because he's still a popular Avenger, but they want their own guy to be Cap. And it was so annoying that they had him stick to those talking points of we need new heroes just so they can parrot it back and say, well, as Sam Wilson said, we do need new heroes. So we're going to get one who looks exactly like Chris Evans pretty much. Yeah. And can just be a milk toast Wonder Bread Captain America. Honestly, it's the same
every
guy.
Time I see this fake Cap U.S. agent, I think Will Schuster from Glee. Like
oh,
I forget
yeah.
the actor's name,
Matthew
but, like,
Morrison,
the teacher from Glee, because like he just look. I cannot get that out of my head.
He has a similar smile. Yeah,
yeah, like the bottom half of like his face, like with the mask on. I'm like, you're Will Schuster, like you evil Will Schuster. Cannot stand you.
Yeah. He's gonna make everyone sit in a weird Glee Club room and just sing for each other, which is all that show became after a while. It was like, so I'm gonna cheer you up with a song that's gonna be a cover of Fireworks by Katy Perry.
Right. I like it's to like, call okay. this one the national anthem.
It was just like, everyone's always on. No, it's another flash mob. Damn it. I'm being terrorized. Stop it.
Enough of the flash mobs. We're good.
We should say this is one of our few legacy actors in the MCU. His father, Kurt Russell, played our Lord in Heaven, Ego, the Living Planet.
Hey, rest in peace, you evil bastard.
Yeah. I mean, Kurt Russell's still alive. We should be clear.
Oh, yeah, not Kurt Russell. Ego. Yeah. Kurt Russell's an amazing person. Ego.
So, what is our next? This kind of related because there's a vacancy for Captain America. So what's our next What the Falcon?
I mean, this is a good question. Where the Falcon is old Cap anyway?
Speaking of conspiracy theories, it was so interesting how Joaquin Torres was like, you know, I just read these conspiracy theories saying that Captain America's on a secret moon base looking down on us. I guess is that kind of like a Dr. Manhattan thing? Like, we think he's on Mars and he's kind of like looking down at us. He left. We don't know where he went. but like... The crazy thing about this is, like, that could be kind of true, MT. We know we got S.W.O.R.D. There's that peak space station where Nick Fury is up in space. Could that be where old Cap went at the end?
I mean, it's quite possible because, like, if you're just, a regular person in the MCU, you don't know what's going on with S.W.O.R.D. You just see people getting shot into space and all that's, like, you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah. I mean,
they got Thanos on the mind with, like, they have an alien invasion that just happened. So it's just, like, everybody's eyes are upward.
Yeah.
So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they saw... you know, rockets being sent into space or like, you know, some space stuff going on and be like, well, Cap's gone. So like, maybe Cap went into space. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Agreed. And like at the end of WandaVision, that Skrull met with Monica Rambeau and was like, there's someone up there who wants to meet with you. And we all assumed, oh, just Nick Fury, because Nick Fury's up with Skrulls on that space station, the Far From Home post-credit scene. But maybe old Cap could be part of that too. Now, look, we're not expecting to see an old man's Chris Evans show up in the show. Even Kevin Feige recently was like, hey, those rumors that he's going to be in two more movies, those are not confirmed. I really doubt Chris Evans is going to show up in the show beyond like a flashback. Or audio echoing back or something like that. But just kind of answering that for the broader MCU, clearly the show is setting up this question of where Chris Evans' old man Cap went. They're not just going to say, oh, he died off or he just disappeared. He is somewhere in the show. And I think Taurus really wants to know. I think he actually wants to know because he is pissed off at the Avengers. He's part of this conspiracy. That's my
guess.
He's like, where is Cap? Where are you hiding him? Where is this?
And like, you know, like in, they specifically did not say that he was dead. And like, that's something that we should probably just like,
gone.
Like bring to attention.
Gone. Yeah.
Not it's just dead. Like, they were like, he's gone. And like, you know, gone can mean a lot of things, but like they specifically say gone. So like he could be on the moon. Maybe the Avengers just didn't tell them about old Cap in general. So they're just like, oh, he went to the quantum realm and then he just never came back. And so now he's gone. But like he's secretly just, you know, playing bingo and marmalade on his own.
You know, MT, I was I'm working on the breakdown right now, and I was going through those exhibits in the Smithsonian. They updated it for the events of Civil War, Endgame, and Infinity War. And if you look closely, it does mention just kind of vaguely Steve Rogers disappeared. And I think people don't know that he came back as an old man for sure. They don't know what happened to him in that battle. For all they know, he just kind of disappeared on this mission to save everyone. And they're grateful for that. But as far as they know, he's just gone. Poof, vanished. And he was one of the people who kind of traded his life so that everyone else could come back. So, yeah. But I think this idea is that Sam knows where Cap is. And he's not telling.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, when Taurus was asking him, hey, where are you headed? He was like, yeah, we're just going to do some moon stuff. But, like, he was smiling. So I was like, all right. So this doesn't feel like a somber thing that he's, I mean, obviously he's giving up the shield and he's not happy about it.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't feel like a, all right, my buddy is dead and, like, I have to go do this thing. It just felt like a, all right, this is just something I got to do. And, you know, it's just, so, like, I definitely do think that there's a, there's something that we don't know about Cap and out there.
But I want to ask you, MT, who the Falcon is Joaquin Torres. This isn't just a random dude who's a friend of Falcon in this show. This name is important to Marvel Comics and could be very important to Marvel's future. So tell us about this guy.
Oh, yeah. This is very significant. This is just not your just ordinary just soldier guy. Joaquin Torres is actually, in the comics, Falcon. Who he takes over the role as Falcon when Sam Wilson becomes Captain America. And Joaquin Torres is very interesting because he had undergone, he was kidnapped, and then he had undergone genetic experiments by Dr. Carl Malice. And it's really weird in the comics. They infused his DNA with that of Red Wing, the actual bird.
The
Falcon. In the comics, he was an actual bird and not an AI. And so he was basically this bird man, and he could literally fly. And, like, you know, he had bird powers, and he had a telepathic link to Red Wing. And so, which is why me and Eric are just, like, we have our Malice feelers up. Because Malice, he's obsessed with making superhuman people. So if Malice is directly linked to Joaquin Torres's origins, there could be a possibility, maybe, that he could be in the show down the line. But we haven't seen anything of him yet. But he is a very important figure in Torres Falcon's backstory and as well Spider-Woman.
That's right. Yeah, Jessica Drew is connected to Malice as well. The Taurus, I think, is just interesting because he is. It gives us another option of who could bear the shield at the end of the series, or it makes it even more possible for Sam to bear the shield because now we have someone to take over Falcon. But you know, right now I don't totally trust Taurus because he seemed a little eager to mess around with that tech. Seemed a little eager to, like, you know, put Sam on Instagram Live in that moment.
That's true.
I don't trust him yet. I'm suspicious of everyone, but I wonder if he's going to be like the government's pick to take over Falcon after they axe Sam.
That would be interesting. That would be really interesting. Maybe you're right not to trust him because he was being sketchy with that. I was wondering that. He was filming everything. I'm like, why are you doing that? Aren't you supposed to be working?
Like, yeah, and doing? He seemed to be kind of like testing Sam a little bit. He's like, oh, you can speak Arabic. Okay, noted.
Noted. Interesting. Now you're turning me into a conspiracy, like a harder conspiracy theorist now.
Get that tinfoil out and make a hat. You're on the moon. They're all on the moon, MT.
That's why there was no Avengers in Far From Home, because they were all on the moon.
They're
on
all the moon people.
But no, yeah, Taurus is going to be a really big part of the MCU, I'm assuming, moving forward. I honestly think that he could actually end up being, if he isn't, you know, an evil son of a bitch, he could actually end up being on the Young Avengers as Falcon.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a younger dude. Yeah, Young Avengers would have to move on from being like teenagers to being like mid-20s.
Like, he's like younger people Avengers, mostly. Yeah. Not like teenagers. But yeah.
Let's talk about Bucky's list. Who the Falcon is on Bucky's list? How important is this going to be? Is this show just going to be like, my name is Bucky and I'm making amends now?
I mean, there was one person on Bucky's list that really caught my eye, and he's right on the very top, Rostov. I don't know how to pronounce that. And I believe that this is an Easter egg or something that is pointing to the existence of an MCU Red Barbarian. Now, Red Barbarian was a character in the comics who used to be, who had a, like, who was a spy master, and he had a large network of spies, and he just sent them out. And at one point, he sold these codes called the Zephyr codes on the black market, which were these codes that activated these super soldiered people and sent them on various missions that they assumed were part of, you know, helping Russia, but was were actually, you know, whoever bought them had them doing. So Red Barbarian, he could be a very big factor in the Winter Soldier's past, because who knows how many people the Winter Soldier has worked with closely in the past. So we could see Rostov being a Hydra member. Potentially. So who knows? It could be anything.
Yeah. He could just be one of these rogue broker figures, you know, who he has just made a lot of deals with the devil in the past. And he like has sold weapons to these people. He's sold, you know, informants lists. He's just kind of like made money and he's just serving himself. And now Bucky's like, that guy needs to go or needs to be apologized to. Maybe Bucky just like accidentally, you know, ran over his mailbox and he's like, look, my name is Bucky Barnes. I'm not the Winter Soldier anymore, but I ran over your mailbox and that's technically a federal crime, so I have to apologize for it. Also, I've bugged your house and I'm listening to everything you say, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, oops, you know, just such common mistakes. Everyone does it. Just casual bugging of your house and running over your mailbox. It's common mistake.
Until we get there, though, I'm wondering if there's going to be more with this Yuri Nakajima and his son, you know, or Leah, the waitress he met. Like, there might be more to that thread to pull. This guy was just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I wonder if, like, that will lead us to Madripoor or something like that. Like, there's more to this, you know, what Bucky did there and what that mission was. And maybe make it up to Yuri. He has to go explore that.
I mean, it could be that, but it could also be, you know, Hydra is all about, you know, getting rid of the right dominoes so that their agenda could be pushed forward.
Right.
And that was all like what Project Insight was all about. That's what Zola was all about. He was just like, just find the right people to eliminate and all that stuff, as we saw in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So I think that this person just could be somebody that was a threat to Hydra, or somebody that Hydra just needed out of the way completely.
Yeah.
So they were just like, hey, just get rid of this kid.
But
I'm very interested to see why he was assassinated and what this kid's link is to the overall show, if there is.
I mean, the poor kid, obviously, it seemed like he would just witness that thing at the time. I just want to know what that dude was and, like, what was really going on there. I think there's more. Maybe this is just one of many things we'll see over the course of the series of other past horrible incidents that happened. But we should talk about Batroc. What the Falcon was Batroc's plan, and what's his next move? Because we aren't done with him. We know from trailer footage this guy's going to come back. He's going to be in other scenes, other fights with them. So what do you think this is, MT? Like, what's Batroc doing?
Honestly, bro, it's just such a good question, because, like, I just don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, they seem to be... Well, in the context of that scene, they were hijacking this plane to try to get his Air Force captain. They hijacked the plane, and they were taking it into Libyan airspace. So what was going on there? Why did they need this captain in particular? Were they just trying to... If they were just trying to capture an American GI or an American soldier... There'd be so many easier ways to do it if they're just trying to get a hostage for a hostile government. Rhodey kind of alluded to the fact that treaties were being torn up. So maybe there's some kind of, like, you know, war brewing between the nations. So they were trying to, like, steal a prisoner who would have been valuable to trade back for a prisoner of war from their side. But it seemed like Batroc seems like a kind of guy who's, like, stealing soldiers for governments to trade to hostile rogue nations. But it just seemed like kind of a weird plan.
I don't know exactly what Batroc's up to, but like it has to tie to the overall story.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. It's very interesting, and like they seem to be very invested in taking this man.
Yeah. And this guy was like they already hijacked the plane before the Air Force, before Torres knew. That's why I think this whole plan was weird that they had Sam. They're like,
yeah.
The guy, this has to be subtle. This has to be private. I think it was all a setup for Sam. I think they wanted Sam to die there. And there was, they were all in on it. Like, Batroc was hired by the government to take out Sam. Because otherwise, the plan doesn't make any sense. It could have just been weird writing. Look, I've fallen down this rabbit hole before where it's like, I find weird little inconsistencies in the writing. I think it's evidence of something. I don't know.
Bro, I do it all
could
the time.
Could be nothing.
I literally, my entire Twitter feed is just that.
At the end of the day, Batroc is coming back, and I think he's going to be key to Sam and Bucky understanding what's really afoot here. I don't know if this is evidence of Sam being set up, but I do, at the end of the day, think Sam is being set up to fail. I think that poor guy is in over his head.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that just don't want Sam to succeed.
Right. But let's close out with our weekly segment of Oh Cap, My Cap. So, yeah, we're going to run through the various potential Cap successors, the potential heirs to the shield, and we're going to rank them either that's my cap or not my cap. So I got my cap on here.
Hey.
Who gets the cap? I always look stupid.
If anyone needs a cap, it's my bald ass dude, so I should probably get a cap for the next one.
Yeah. We'll get you a cap.
Nice.
All right. So let's start with our boy Sam Wilson. That's my cap or not my cap, MT?
You already know, Eric. That's my cap.
That's my cap,
bro.
Too. He's the best. We love that guy. Feeding the homeless, trying to help his sister get her boat from underwater. Not literally, you know.
What a good
financial
man. He tried his best.
He tried his best. That loan officers, they're always villains.
It's the banks, you know? It makes you want to rob a Swiss
it
bank.
It really does.
Don't you feel that way?
It really does. let's talk about Bucky Barnes this episode. That's my cap or not my cap?
I mean, you know, Bucky, he's still learning about being, you know, a nice boy and like, you know, well, he was working with his therapist to try to better himself, mm-hmm. but he's not 100% there yet. So let's just say not my cap.
Yeah.
Quite yet, because obviously this is a story about Falcon.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say not my cap. Yeah. He's still got some
growing. He's got some going to do, but I'm going to give him a that's my cap just to see Bucky be polite and to have to smile. I'm like, that's some Boy Scout shit right there. Good for you.
You're so right, because it was so awkward.
He's so uncomfortable
like, wow,
for him.
He's trying.
Yeah, he really is. all right, U.S. agent John Walker, or just John Walker, not my cap.
That raggedy man.
I've been kind of mean to him. He might be a really nice guy. We'll see maybe next episode, but not my cap.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, the actor, I'm sure, is a
yeah.
very nice
guy. Wyatt Russell's great, but yeah. Okay, Joaquin Torres. Didn't think he'd be on our list last week, but now he is. What do you think, MT?
I mean, I don't think he'll be my cap. I don't think he'll end up being cap specifically, but I think that he's a... if he ends up being a nice man that isn't, like, you know, corrupt, mm-hmm. I think he's a good dude. I think he has a good heart from what we know
okay.
now. And so, potentially, maybe he would make a good uh-huh. cap, but I'm going to say not my cap because I don't think he'll be.
Yeah, cap. I'll say maybe that's my Falcon, but so far, he's given me more reasons to suspect him. He took a beating. I feel bad for him when he got beat up there.
He got his ass beat. He got stomped. Really?
Yeah. So right now I'm going to say not my cap, maybe my Falcon. Well, let us know your thoughts on this episode. I'm going to go back to working on the breakdown where hopefully we'll be able to get it out later today. And just a note for everyone, we were able to get this out early because luckily, and this almost never happens, starting to happen more and more, we were able to get early access to watch the episode. That's amazing. Thank you to Disney Plus and everyone there for helping us out here. But next week, we're going back to our normal schedule. So that means Inside Marvel will come out early afternoon Pacific time on Fridays, and our breakdown is coming out on Saturdays. We don't have an early 24 hours to work on it this time. Sorry, but Saturday's the fastest we can get it to you guys and keep that quality that we're doing. So stay tuned for that. That'll be for episode 2. Episode 1, get to faster. But that is it for this episode of Inside Marvel, the after show of Falcon Winter Soldier. MT, thank you so much. You've been wonderful and lovely.
Obviously, man. You know I love making videos with you, dog. You know this is my jam.
Oh, well, it's my jam, too. You're my jelly. We'll be back next Friday for our reaction to episode 2 and our after show, which MT will answer all of your big What the Falcons. And a reminder to download the Stereo app by going to stereo.com/newrockstar so you can listen to our weekly live shows, submit questions and theories, and hear us respond in real time. Download the app for free on Apple and Android and create an avatar and profile. Follow MT at Mastertainment. Follow me at EA Boss. Follow New Rockstar. Subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for watching, and we will close out with our favorite moment of the episode.
How old are you?
106.